Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friendly Fire Games Exploration of Star Wars Jedi Survivor Episode 2, Attack of the Bros. See, he's got a tank top on. Tyler's a bro. I am your host,
a nice Robin's egg blue.
And you can't really tell that. It's kind of like a washed white in the lighting.
Yeah.
Maybe a little hint of blue.
Right next to my window. That's making nice. my porcelain skin even more porcelain.
You're so white and pasty. I am joined again with Tyler, obviously.
Yep.
Ryan?
I have a haiku this time.
Oh.
About my favorite stance.
Okay. I guess we will listen to it.
You want to do that now?
Elegant weapon. Jedi's mastery displayed. Blaster's force conveyed.
Blaster stance, man.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Naps for Ryan.
It's the incorrect stance, but
Blaster stance rules.
Is here as well.
I am here. I am wearing another Star Wars shirt. Rule of the Fates, but it's cute, chibi people.
Oh, I have my 80s Boba Fett.
That is a cool looking shirt.
That's awesome.
And not that yours isn't, Chris. Yours is cool too.
Yeah. Hello. Thanks for having me back.
I'm surprised you came back. It's because our blue milk tasted so good, isn't it?
Delicious.
Put that blue milk right in me.
You blue milk guy or green milk guy?
Blue. And we are on chapter 3. Oh. 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. That's the ones.
The survivors of the Jedi's and going through the stars.
Well, those of us who haven't beat it are on chapters 3 and 4.
I mean,
well, two of you are also midway chapter 5 still, right?
Yes.
Yes, also. I am the only person adhering to the rules of this podcast that I am the only guest on.
Here's the thing about the rules, Brian. There are no rules.
Honestly, 6 goes pretty quick after you hit that story fantasticism point. It's just like, I'm just going to keep playing. Plus, if you've been doing all the exploration of everything, you know, you don't really have to explore anything.
Yeah.
But anyways, we have returned to the Mantis. Yay! We share news of Tantalor with all our fantastic crew. I think Z's here now. She's got a new shiny body. Right? She's like, hey, look at me. I'm clean. Because Monk gave her the down and the dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the saloon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, see?
She's outside the ship waiting for you.
Fun things happen at Pyloon Saloon, including getting your gears greased.
It's like that scene in The Wizard of Oz where the Tin Man's getting buffed.
Yeah, he's getting buffed. Oh, yeah. Yes. But, yes. So we decide that we are going to go see Seer so we can figure out this Tantalor nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Z doesn't want to go along with us because we suck, so she stays at the fucking saloon.
Reasonable.
Because she wants to just get those data discs or whatever.
Right.
Oh, well. She'll figure out that she was incorrect very soon. So, off to Jeddah! Yay! Did any of you guys, upon reaching Jeddah, get eaten by the scorpion thing?
Nope.
The hell do they call it?
The sandworm.
It looked like a dune sandworm.
It's a... I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, something.
You fight one later, though, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a different
whole bunch
thing.
Of them.
I think it's the same thing.
No, it's the same thing. It's the scorpion.
Yeah, because I ended up going back and letting it kill me just to see for sure.
It killed us naturally once, and then we got stuck because we were trying to get into a corner to get a Jeddah scroll. And then with where it killed us, it kept respawning us in that corner. So it took us a few tries to be able to sprint out of there fast enough to get to a platform away from it. But
you are not good enough.
Yeah, pretty much. Padawan. I mean,
if once you end up killing that thing later on and you scan it, that thing wrecks in that AI battle system.
Oh, yeah. Holotactics or
whatever. Yeah, holotactics. It just destroys everything.
Yeah, you really only have to put that in.
Yeah. For most of them. Like, if you get that and you use it, it takes down everything. And then
that's way better than the ATSD.
Yeah.
And ATSD kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it gets fucked up super quick. The holotex is fun, though. I wish they would have put more people
in it. Because they changed the ATSD in this one, so when a melee is close to it, it'll just drop the stun grenades. I don't think it drops the actual explosive thermal detonators.
So
it won't use any ranged weapons when it's that close, and it just fucking stumbles around dropping shock grenades.
I had a fight that was it was 5 minutes of it just dropping the stun grenades, but they weren't close enough to hit the enemy, so the enemy just stood there and hit it slowly. It took 5 minutes. I won eventually, but
yeah
that was dumb. Never use ATSD. And
also, it used to have a stop move in the first one, didn't it? Where it would stop its foot down?
I think so, with a small area effect around it.
And it doesn't have that anymore either.
No.
Yeah. I just unlocked Holo Tactics during this section. We hadn't found that person when we recorded last week, and I'm glad Tyler is saying he likes it now, because I feel like you guys were really low on it last year, and it's not great, but I
enjoyed it. If it was longer, fun. If there was more...
I didn't try it the last time. I had unlocked it, but I never actually did it.
Yeah.
And, I found myself really enjoying it just because I'm it puts all those scans to use in a fun way. It's so you get more variety the more you scan. It's how can I puzzle this together with the characters that I've unlocked? You know, that I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. And if it was longer than what it was, I would totally enjoy it. If it was just a indie game by itself.
Yeah. You also don't get a lot of rewards for it either.
No. You get some cosmetic, and then otherwise it's just
the last one is a perk, I believe.
You get a bounty puck in there from Kaij.
Yeah.
A
few things. I don't know, it's fine as a mini game, but I wouldn't want a full indie game of it.
Yeah, I think it's a perk once you beat
once you get the last
final lady. Because it's all the all of the ones that unlock, and then after you beat all of them, you get to fight the crazy guys. The lady you found.
Right. I gotta beat the Tina to Nate, whatever, before the last one unlocks. Tina. I got one.
Oh
more.
She's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
until I still need to do most of them. Scorpion thing, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I still need to do most of them if I'm going to get the trophy. I still have 2 trophies that I'm worried are not going to pop due to bugs and circumstances, so I haven't bothered doing Holotactics because I want to see if those are going to pop or not first. Because Holotactics is fine, but as a huge Teamfight Tactics fan, it's just Teamfight Tactics, but very, very, very basic. I'd rather play Teamfight Tactics.
Yeah, I played the what's the other one that
Auto Chess.
Auto Chess. It doesn't
or the Dota 2 one.
There's the Dota 2 one. That's the one I played.
I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, me either. It was fun though. I played it for a little bit.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're fun. If you like the Holotexas, you would like the Auto Chess type stuff then.
Is it Star Wars?
No, but they have other characters and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'll just go fuck myself.
I'll just pass. It's fine. We get to Jedha, and we are going to be... she sends one of somebody else. We don't know who it is at this point.
An escort.
Yes, an escort. And he's that's weird. They're not meeting us. Or, Seer's not meeting us directly. That's strange. But then we find out that it's fucking Marin anyway, who makes a fantastic entrance of Nightcrawler... bamfing and murdering of stormtroopers,
mm-hmm.
which I was very hyped for. It was very, very good. I like that.
Somehow even more badass than the first game. Marin, lover.
Yeah. Marin's the best character in both of these games.
Protect Marin at all costs.
BD1's the best character. Marin is the best humanoid character.
BD1's pretty damn good, too.
I'm sorry, but Turtle is in this game.
Turtle's fine.
He's fantastic. He's not in it enough.
Yeah, he's really not in it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just keep having conversations with him, and his conversations are pretty hilarious. He tells you about his little exploits of how he's trying to con stormtroopers and stuff, and they when they arrived and they're just not taking it. And he's like, I got a better idea. I'm going to do this next time, and we'll see how they like it then.
I can't wait until it
doesn't work out.
The beginning of a theoretical third game where they just bomb that whole cantina so that they can clear all the characters out and start anew.
And then Turtle rises from the ashes. Yeah. Half his head blown off.
Turtle and Scuba Stev aren't in there. I'm okay with it.
I'm missing one fish from my fish tank, and I'll have my fish tank complete.
Yeah. I'm missing 4, I think. Well, what I have exploring to do on Kobo.
even after you find all the fish, like, he'll be out there and continuously tell you stories of, like, nice. His exploits. So it's pretty good. Like,
the stories have been great. Yeah. He has one that's hilarious. He's just talking about his mustache and, like, asking you if it's good or not. Like, if it makes him look good. And, like, you have to reply. It's one of those, like, you can reply yes or no to it.
Yeah. It's fine. Zero response.
Some of the writing in this game is so fucking funny that since we're talking about Scuba Steb, I was telling Tom earlier we were playing Battlefront. There is a really funny line that happened during this section where some of the Bedlam Raiders were talking to the droids about Ravis, and the droids were like, I don't know why Ravis does whatever Dagon tells him to do. I would never let somebody boss me around like that. And then the Bedlam Raider is like, well, I need you to go do this. He goes, Roger, Roger. And then, like, walks away.
We got that last night. That was so good.
That's so funny. Like, I legit laughed out loud. I was like, this game is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those battle droids have a lot of good conversations. Even the animations when you're fighting them. I brought it up last time. Like, if you hit a thermal detonator back at them, sometimes they'll try and catch it and just bobble it, and then it just explodes. Suicide run you.
I like when you push them off the edge and they don't know it. And they're like, no way.
Yep. I shared a clip of that on Twitter. We ran into the same one that did that the first time. We hit him again. And this time it was no fair.
Yeah.
I had that when I force pulled one to me and cut him in half.
So good.
Yes, it is. There's very good writing in this.
But Marin.
Yes, Marin.
Marin
has arrived.
I like Marin a lot, but something about her voice acting in this sounds kind of off to me.
I mean, it's the same voice actor, but...
I know, it just sounds weird, and I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's the cadence of the character or something. It just sounds off when she's talking.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Other than that, she's cool.
You get losing frames when she's talking to you?
Maybe. I don't know.
I like how I think this is the first point in the game, and there are many points in the game, with straight up monster closets where they're just like opening and there's nowhere for those enemies to have come from. They were just hiding in the closet. Just classic video game, like Doom, original Doom stuff.
Yeah, just around the corner. Just hanging out.
Like, do you guys just live in there? Like,
yeah.
Like a teacher lives at school. That closet is home for the enemies. Yeah.
Exactly. I teach high school now, but I used to teach middle school. And when I saw kids at the grocery store, their faces just holy shit. You exist outside of that building.
And you said, don't look at me, kid.
Yeah. Stop looking at me.
You fucking nerd. I'll see you in class.
Can't peer at me outside of school construct. So, yes, we are happy to see Marin. Yay. Cal is more excited and does weird smirks of lovey-doveyness. And she's like, well, let's go back to the speeder. It's like, yeah, they found it. And she's like, well, we'll just fucking kill them all. As you are progressing through, you get to hear her tell tales of them calling her the ghost and that she gives them nightmares and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, there's a very cool scene where you're like hanging on a ledge, crawling along below her, and she has like her own like mini like the hallway fight from Daredevil or whatever, but very short, and it's very cool to watch.
Yeah, the first time I was like, where the fuck am I and why can I not control myself to move the correct direction? Because if it pans right away, you're like off on the bottom left corner of the screen and you don't even see yourself, and it's like, what is happening? Is this a cutscene or no, I can move, because I like kind of waited there for a little bit. I'm like, well, nothing else is happening. And now I don't know what to do. And I didn't know where I was. And it has that weird glitch, like sometimes when that camera spins and you're crawling on something, whatever direction you were holding is now a different direction, but it'll keep going that way. And it's like, wait, what's going on? And you got to let go of the stick, because you can't even just like move it to the other direction. If you don't let go of it, it'll just keep moving you.
It's funny that I've been playing Metroid Prime Remaster off and on since it launched. And it does that a lot when you're in the morph ball form, like using the spider ball, like crawling around, and that shit gets so frustrating with like camera control when it's like trying to go a certain direction. It's like, oh, now you got to go this direction all of a sudden. It's like, it makes no sense.
We ran into a couple of camera and game issues in this whole section as well with all the movement and everything. I think it was just a little much for the game to handle at points, but we got to a door at one point where we saw the R2 prompt to blow the door open. And then as we approached the door, it went away. And then no matter what we did, moving in or out, back and forth, it wouldn't come back. So we had to quit it out to the main menu. And that happened a couple of times in these two chapters for us, where we had to back out and go back in to get it to kind of reset.
Weird.
I had a crash for the first time. God, it's so it's in an area on Kobo you may or may not have explored yet. I cleared it out last week when I was playing sometime, and when I booted it back up, I guess I didn't save, or maybe the PlayStation updated or something, and it turned off when it was in rest mode, it did not save my progress clearing the caverns that I was in. Cleared it again, and right at the tail end, the game crashed, and now I gotta go do that whole cavern a third fucking time. Not very
exciting. It's a fun cavern. I mean, it's a fun, like, at least the first time you go down there.
It was fun the first time.
It's even better the second time. It's like that episode of SpongeBob where he's like, it's so good, I think I'll try it a second time.
And now you're on the third.
What is this cavern? Are we allowed to talk about it?
Or the Fon Key.
I mean, it's not a spoiler.
It's on Kobo. You could get to it chapter 3 and 4. I just don't want to talk about what's in it if you haven't been, because there's fun stuff. The Fon Key Caverns.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is... Yeah, there's a trophy for going there. I haven't been there yet then either.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
I've been there. And there's cool stuff down there, but I now have to go do it a third time.
Interesting.
Funky Cavern. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. The Funky.
But it's like PHON apostrophe QI.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've done that. Yeah.
Okay.
I've definitely had some bugs. I've had a couple times where like I was trying to do one of those puzzle rooms, and it just like wouldn't let me force push or pull the things that could be force pushed and pulled. And then later, also when you're fighting like the big drill robot, there's a door that I just needed to force push open, and like the prompt would pop up for half a second and then disappear. So I kept walking in and out of the room because the prompt would keep popping up for half a second and just wouldn't let me open it, and I would have to quit out and reload the game. And then one of those times, I thought this was a bug, but I figured out what it was. One of those times, it was like just after I had booted up the game for the first time in the day, and the force push pull powers weren't working, and it said on the quit to title screen, that it had been 19.9 hours since my last save, which was very scary. But it turns out that's just like you saved yesterday when you were playing, you bozo. You haven't saved today, so technically it was 19.9 hours ago.
Like it just kept running in the background, and
that's such a weird way to put that, though.
Like, yeah, it is really weird. That. Yeah. And then the biggest bug I had, I posted this to Twitter. It's like when I jumped off of a thing, you know, this game has those weird death planes where you fall too far and it just kills you and puts you back. It didn't put me back. It put me like higher, like way higher. So I kept falling. And this time it didn't like kill me out of death plane. It just like fell through the ground and I fell forever.
Oh, yeah. I saw your clip of that. That was wild.
Yeah.
I was telling Tyler I found one. This guy... was trying to get whatever the fucking chocobo version of Kobo, those things, onto his mantis. So he jumped on top of the mantis right by the door, called it to it. It ran to the door. And then he got inside and mounted it. And he's like, okay, that's cool. Let's try going in space. So that he got off of it, went to the, you know, holo chart, went to another planet. As it started flying away, he hopped on to the bird, but then tried to move, which then took him out of the mantis, and then he turns and looks, and you see the mantis flying away with that weird, like, hyperspace warp around it, and it's just flying further away, and it's just the, like, world just slowly starts, like, de-resing itself.
Unloading, oh my god.
So, and it just starts disappearing, and then all of a sudden he's just in space as the mantis is flying and just falling for, like, ever.
That's what happens to like, Spider-Man in Infinity War.
Like, yeah. Like, what are the chances of somebody trying that? Because you can't run, it won't let you run onto the ramp with the bird. So he had to call it. So it ran up the ramp by standing on top of the mantis and then just essentially broke his game. But it was hilarious to watch.
I just realized it's a chocobo. On the, you're saying the chocobo? Chocobo? Get it? Because
Kobo. Get it.
Do you get it?
It's good.
I was waiting for you to stop talking so I could say that. I thought that was a very smart comment.
You want me to cut that joke out, Tyler?
No, I've been thinking about that for a good 35 seconds while Tom was talking. Chocobo. Chocobo. Anyways. Proceed. Sorry.
That's where we're going to end it.
Right. That's the whole box. See you in chapters 5 and 6.
Anyway, back to Jedha. There's a giant sandstorm
coming.
Hold on,
I wasn't done talking about bugs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Bugs?
Yeah, we're talking about bugs and glitches. So my big issue with bugs for this chapter is when you get the force lift and whatever the other one is. Whenever the prompt would come up to do the force lift, because you have to like lift up some sections, especially when you go back to Kobo later on in chapter 5, you have to lift up some pillars and stuff when you're in that swampy bog area, and it just would not do it. It didn't matter how many times I pressed the button, he would do the animation, but things would not lift up off the ground. And that happened quite a bit. And then I had another bug during the dual Rancor fight. You find a forest area where you fight two Rancors. And I had an animation bug where I dodged the Rancor because it has like the instant kill move where it grabs you and eats you. And I dodged it. I was like 5 feet away from it, but it still acted like it got my hitbox. And so I got lifted up like 5 feet in the air away from it. And then it did the animation like it bit me, but I was all the way across the fucking battle arena.
Jeez.
It was so weird.
Weird. The other big bug I should talk about, and it's why I'm worried one of the trophies will not pop, is in the swamp, the big guy that's there. I don't remember what he is. Is he a Mogu? I don't know. He's one of the alpha, like...
Oh, the one that's back in the right corner or whatever?
Yeah. So if you proceed through that area, this is a consistent bug, apparently. A lot of people have run into it. But if you proceed through that area without fighting him, and you go back on the elevator that takes you to the starting area, he just, like, dies randomly. You get a thing that says he's dead. You completed that rumor. So I'm not sure if that counted as killing that legendary enemy or not for the trophy.
It probably does, because there was a lot of legendary enemies that I killed just by pushing them off a ship, and I didn't even fight them. And it like, there was a one that tried to roll at me. I think it was on Jetta. And you fight one on a cliff, I think, in Jetta, and it tried to roll at me, but it clipped the ledge, and so the ledge just, like, pulled it down. But it was, like, a weird glitch, but it said I killed it, so I'm assuming that that counted, because I got the trophy for killing all the legendary monsters. Even though, technically, I didn't do anything, I just watched it fall to its death.
Yeah, there's a lot of enemies, once you get force lift, that you can just, like, lift, push, and they're dead.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Fucking rules. Makes you feel powerful.
You know, Starkiller, though, you can't bring down a Star Destroyer.
Yet.
Yeah.
Third game. In the third
game.
Wow. There's more games.
Spoilers. Wow.
Damn, Tom.
I don't even want to finish it now.
You're at the worst part in the game anyway. So.
The only reason I was playing was to pull down a Star Destroyer. Yeah.
You're no Starkiller. Oh, well. Anyway, there's a sandstorm coming, and it looks pretty cool in the distance as it's crouching down on you. And then you get to find, what are the spammels, which, yes, spammels. That is what spam is made out of. We get to see where spam actually comes from.
My chocobo joke was better than that. I'm just saying.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
So we can't quite outrun the sandstorm.
You can make them, you can make the spammel sprint, but you don't. Yeah. She doesn't like, hey, can you make this thing go any faster to like halfway through?
Yeah.
Like, oh. I mean, I guess I can start sprinting now, but then you get to the cave and there's one of the whatever the fuck the scorpion things are. Scares it, big dust storm. Can't find Marin. Then you find Marin. She's got a little green necro flame. Fight a couple stormtroopers and then it's cuddle up sexy time in the cave. You guys like
gather around the campfire.
Yeah. It's her arm, maybe put your arm around her, show her stories.
It's just foreplay for later.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Maybe. But it's kind of neat because then after that, like when they fall asleep, like she's like watching Cal sleep like a creeper. And he's like having a nightmare or something because he's moving around. So she just lays down next to him and grabs his hand. And then it just cuts the fucking morning. So that's how night sisters have sex, is what I assume is what's happening at that point.
They nightmares and then they grab your hand. While you're
sleeping. Yeah, and then that sucks.
Interesting.
As you continue on to see her, I think you have a discussion of why she left. She essentially left to view the galaxy on her own terms and to essentially find herself. And Cal's like, well, I didn't like it at the time, but I can see you made the right choice now. So we get some sort of inkling at this point on why she left, even though it's still very vague. It's like, hey, I left because I wanted to go fly around the galaxy.
I mean, I thought they made it pretty clear she had to do a little bit of soul searching.
I guess.
Figure out what her point is.
So we learn about her, why she left, and so we still got to figure out what Sierra's deal is, but that'll happen. So we get to the hideout, door opens, and the person who I thought was fucking dead is there. Master Cordova is standing there. I'm like, I thought this fucker was dead from the first game just because it's just a bunch of hollows that you see.
They never once hinted that he was alive.
Like, wow, well, this is weird, but okay, cool.
And they really don't linger on it either. They're like, surprise, he's alive.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad to see you. Yeah, good to see you. Cool. And apparently
there is... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's a really cool scene, like, when you meet Cordova... and like you're walking back into the temple or whatever with him, and BD-1 is on his shoulder, and he is like, you're walking right next to him, and BD-1 is like on his Cordova shoulder, and then he kind of crawls over and like goes from Cordova to you. I thought that was like a really cool little touch of like passing the torch of like, yeah, he was his droid, but now he's like your droid. I really like that moment.
It's nice. Yeah, I didn't even notice that really.
So his property is what you're saying? Like essentially like a slave?
Not at all. What are you talking about?
You said he was his, but now he is yours. He's not anybody's. He's his own droid, Tyler.
He's yours. He's your little buddy. That's why he's BD-1. Little buddy. BD buddy.
No.
All right.
That doesn't check out.
I'm working on I'm workshopping some
falsifications of everything. So you find Seer, who has now decided to make herself look more like her actual voice actor and shave her head and be completely tatted up. I don't remember her name. But she was on Mad TV.
Deborah Wilson.
Yeah, Deborah Wilson. That sounds right.
Yep.
But yeah. So she's all tatted and bald and rebuilding the Jedi archives and has the hidden path going on. That's why she left to do all this fun stuff and hang out with these anchorites that have don't want to show their faces, apparently.
Connections with the Obi-Wan
series. Unless you haven't watched Obi-Wan, then shh.
Too late. I spoiled it. I don't care.
It's not really that big of a spoiler. It's in it for... I mean, I guess it's in it for a while, but...
Yeah, the last three episodes.
You now know what it... Yeah, it's only six episodes anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Hidden Path. Hooray! So, now we are... telling them about Tantalore, and Cordova's like, yay, I got all these books. I'm going to look at this. Doodly doot doot doo.
Exactly. Why don't you go back to Kobo? In the game.
Go back to Kobo, and you can go to the Shattered Moon.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you guys go first?
I went to the moon first.
Same. I also went to the moon first.
Yeah, we did as well. I was just going to point out that it felt weird. And I think it was obviously just for plot purposes, because what happens to Z needs to happen to Z. But it feels weird that you don't bring Z to Jedha to meet Seer and Eno. Like, obviously, she's going to have information that they could probably access that would be useful.
Well, she didn't want to go, right?
She's like, I'm just going to hang out in the saloon. I mean, yeah, but she's a droid, so she's property, right?
Yeah.
That's how I got on the ship, as Tom stated earlier.
That's why they call these things called restraining bolts.
But before we leave for the moon, or wherever we're going, Bode gives us a gift.
He takes a shit on her chest. Yeah, I forgot about
that. All right. Oh, you get the blaster stance. It's cool. Come on.
I love blaster stance. It's been my main stance since I got it. Like, I keep blaster and double on. Double for, like, large groups, but blaster for just everything else.
Yeah, I switched my second stance to blaster, but I used dual wield almost exclusively throughout the entire game. And then I did switch blaster to the one that we get here in a little bit, but I like never switched to it. I should have just kept blaster on as my secondary, because it has range on it. But
yeah, it's incredibly useful, and especially once you like level it up and you start getting like perks and stuff for it to make like your blaster stuff stronger, and you get the bounties from Cage. That also increase your blaster stuff, which is just like, it becomes so OP. And the point blank ability is so fucking useful.
Like, I gotta use that more.
When somebody's coming up on you and you just shoot them in the fucking face and it creates a radius, it helps out so much with, like, just when you're getting mobbed, just kind of disperse everybody and give you, like, a second of, like, breathing room. It's very useful. I love it.
So as he gives you the blaster, there's a training dummy there, which I will tell you now, if you are planning to get all of the trophies, this is the what it is talking about.
Yeah.
Where you train with your weapons, what, the headband down, not doing the actual training at the meditation, which is what I thought it was. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Basically, you just put the hairstyle with the headband on and beat the shit out of the dummy and you get it.
That's yeah,
which is called Cobra Cal.
Yeah. I don't have that headband though.
Well, you really? Get it. It's
somewhere
just,
on
you just
Kobo.
You buy it with the Pyrite or whatever the fuck it is from What's Your Nuts.
Oh, that's probably why. Yeah, I haven't bought any of the hair. I move from bottom to the top of the list because I want all the paints and stuff so I can decorate my lightsaber.
That was music.
Oh, yeah,
well, you're music right. Does get added. I don't think the music gets added to her store until you find the music guy, right?
No, it does. Yeah, it's there from the jump.
It was there.
Yeah. Because I don't think I have the music guy still.
Really?
Oh, interesting. Even we have that one, Tyler.
Yeah, I love the
music. Maybe I've just ran past him a bunch. I don't know where he's at.
That's a duo. We did the tutorial for the blaster stance, and I have not gone back to it since. We immediately switched back to double blade.
It was going to be one that I liked, and I put it on for there until I went to the moon and got the cross guard stance.
Yeah.
And then I used cross guard the entire rest of the game.
Wow. Okay. So we're still double blade dual wield. I like the cross guard stance, but it's a little, I'm not used to playing a heavy attacker, so it feels so slow.
Oh, so good. You can take down block meters and stamina in like two hits.
Yeah.
Especially if you have all the if you have the perks on, like you can just annihilate. It's fantastic.
But
I mean, some of the slow ones or the fast enemies would be a problem, but all you do is fucking lift them up and then slam them to the ground and just do a big swipe and they're all fucking dead anyway.
That's fair. But yeah, that's cool. I'm a Jedi. I want to play with a lightsaber. I didn't come to
this is a lightsaber
for the blaster play. No, yeah. I'm just saying with the blaster stance, you know. So we've stuck to the double bladed. We've got that tree maxed out, and I assume that's probably what we're gonna use for the rest of the game, unless it forces us to do anything else.
Interesting. Tyler, what's your main stance? Because we've got four of the main stances represented here already.
Cross guard. Yeah,
fuck you.
Cross guard and the double blade is what I've been using here lately. I switch between double blade and blaster back and forth. I have pretty much the entire skill tree maxed out at this point for everything. I just don't have dual wield and single maxed out. I'm working on those now because I keep the experience perk on at all times.
Yeah, I have gambler and the experience perk, so I'm almost maxed out on.
I think it can take long if you have gambler on.
And you only get 10 perk slots, right? Is 10 the max perk slots you get?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
That's I'm not even at that yet. I'm at 9.
I think we have 4.
I'm at 4.
Maybe 5. Yeah.
I got 10. I got a bunch of perks.
Is there a way to get those besides buying them, or is that the only way to get them?
There's only one I think you can buy.
Yeah.
The rest comes from essences.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So we just have to
buy them throughout the map.
Okay.
So, you can go to Kobo, to the settlement, or you can go to the moon, you know, whatever way you want to go, essentially to find a broken compass.
Sounds like somebody's going to jail where you're at.
No, you're finding information about, like, how they got to Tantalor at this point, Tom.
Right, but
you don't know if it's a compass. What you do find are broken compasses.
You don't know what that's called or have any idea about yet.
Listen, we know by the time we finish this chapter what they are.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So
I'm with Tom.
Don't you roll your eyes at me? I'm watching.
No, it's not rolling. That's
you don't have to wait 15 minutes for me to say. Oh, and by the way, those were compasses. But yeah.
Well, we just stole your thing from Gotta Rank 'Em All, Ryan. Nobody else has ever done that before you did.
Oh, really?
No one.
I don't watch.
He wouldn't know.
I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, yes, you collect those. You have to fight. The way you get the cross guard stance is you fight they're just force sensitive, weird, like star pilot wearing weirdos.
Yeah, I guess right Dagon now is kind of like training them is the idea.
Yeah, but he trained real quick, I guess. I know. Fuck, man. There's a shit ton of those guys around.
Yeah, Dira Thorn was the name of that one. I have it written in my notes. I don't know why. I thought maybe we were supposed to know who this was, like, because he got a name, but I was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh, care. You find so many more of those guys.
So fast. Yeah.
Who cares?
Tom, I'm curious if you feel this way. The Shattered Moon feels like something I could have seen in Destiny. Like the map design.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it is very smooth and High Republic as well.
For sure. Yeah, it doesn't feel out of place here, but like as I'm rolling around, like I could easily also see this in as like a part Europa. Of the Destiny map. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That could definitely be on Europa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my two cents real quick on the Crossguard Sands. I thought I was going to like it a lot more than I did because I always play with a big two-handed heavy weapon in Dark Souls-style games, but I don't know, speed just feels better on Jedi for me. So I stuck with Dual Wield.
Oh, I love just the animations because there's one after you do a parry where he has it up and then he hits his hand on the top of it to force it down with more power. I just love that little animation.
Also, you get like an overhead charge throw where...
Oh, it's so good.
One triangle, and you fucking just hold it like this and just chuck it.
Straight, yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Straight it all the way, it'll just travel through more enemies. So it'll just go straight in the line.
Yeah, it's super cool. I do like you have the big, wide arcing sweep. So like if you're getting mobbed, you just do the big, like I do this a lot where I do the force pull towards me and just bring everybody in, do an arcing sweep with it, the L1 and square, and just... murder people. It's so good.
I like to do the slam them all into the ground and then cut them because they're all just face down and just slice them all down. Very good. Enjoy it.
I do like I like on the Shattered Moon when you get there, like you don't know that the Bedlam Raiders are there and they're like hiding around corners, but they've got their giant glowy sticks out, so it's just like super obvious where they are every time. None of them are ever surprising. Like you should turn those off until I walk around the corner, okay?
Well, I don't think they're expecting you to show up. They're just hanging out, standing guard.
Really. Yeah.
Well, then why would they
are very intentionally hiding behind boxes.
Mm-hmm. They just jump out. Scare you.
But, I mean, they got to be ready to rumble. That's their job.
It's like the Royal Rumble.
That's right.
So.
Oh, hold on.
Is there a boss on the Kobo on the settlement?
Yeah. Koraj Lim.
Just another.
Yeah, I think he's the first one that does like the grapple swing and stuff.
Oh yeah.
But I want to talk about the Crossguard real quick again. There's a funny trophy for that where you put the mullet on and do a drop kick on somebody.
Yep. And get roundhouse.
You get Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, that's what it is.
Yeah, you get the Roadhouse trophy for that.
You gotta look like Patrick Swayze.
Roadhouse. It's very funny.
Aha! Unless you haven't seen that movie. But you should, because Patrick Swayze rips the guy's throat out.
With his bare hands.
You'll get so many more Family Guy references.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have our, well, we don't know what they are, but they're compasses. Mm-hmm. And we go back, and Cordova's like, you know what? I'm going to decipher these. And why don't you guys go look at Brother Armaeus, who is missing and has vital codes.
This is the part in Kobo, too, right? Where we get the thing for BD1 where he can connect the... what is that?
The Kobo particles.
Yeah, the Kobo particles. And
could be my timeline of all of the random abilities.
So that's when that's the section where like you gotta deteriorate the Kobo particles around the vents and use those bird things to fly around. I did not really enjoy that section.
Oh yeah, the volcanic area.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of like, oh, go here to burn this and then fly across and then burn this one and then fly across and.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool section, but I enjoyed that as a puzzle mechanic, except that it was really janky. Like the surfaces just would not let the thing stick to it. So I'm like, okay, I got to find a different solution. And then it turned out it was just being janky and not sticking.
Yeah, there was times where like it wouldn't stick, and I would just like jiggle the stick around real quick, and it would be like, oh, now I found the surface I needed to stick to.
It depends on the geometry of it. Like if there's a ridge by a door, like it, and you're shooting at it, it's only hitting the one side of the door, and you actually have to walk around to hit the other side of the frame. It's really stupid. And then you're like, I'm just gonna go down and then around, and I don't have to worry about any of that bullshit.
I do like that mechanic. I think they do a lot of cool puzzle aspects with it, especially later on. But I just didn't like that section of the vents and flying from across to across to across. I don't enjoy that kind of gameplay. Anyways.
So, yes, Cordova is going to decipher these objects that you have brought to him while you go and look on Brother Armaeus. And as you are heading over there to save him, because he has the contact codes for the hidden path, the Empire is over there trying to fuck his shit up. And you come across this wind chamber, which is just like a giant swirling weird. Well, I mean, before that, there's just shit pushing you around, which there is a part here where you have to go through later after you obtain the ability from this area to get to like some force tears and stuff. But it sometimes going against that wind does not help. Like going, you just can't get through, and it's very janky. Does anybody else not really care for the stupid ass robots that have the materials in them and run away from you as soon as they see you? And you can't use force ability because they will immediately go into the ground.
Yeah.
So the best way is just to slow everything and then run at them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nothing really works.
I always throw my lightsaber, but yeah, the crossguard stance lightsaber throw is not as fast, so I can see that not being a great option.
Oh, I just chase them down, stab them.
But... yeah, the blaster also does not work on them.
Yeah.
So. Which is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, they're totally just like wizards from Dark Souls, but they don't really make sense here because it's not like wizards are the main way you get upgrade materials in Dark Souls, so they're like important, but here it's just like get another pirate shard or Jedi scroll or whatever. Yeah.
Well, if you want 100% everything, you have to get them.
Yeah. So if you want all the trophies, you have to find every priorite shard. You don't have to find everything of all the other stuff, but.
So this is this week's section of I didn't even realize that you could do these things. I just assumed those droids just ran away from you because it was like a funny thing that they were
doing. Oh, no.
If there was anything you could
gotta
do.
Kill them.
Yeah, right. They have items that they were digging up.
They all hold a treasure.
Back to the blustery, windy section, though. This was one of those points where we had to quit the game and restart, and it was probably the most frustrating one because we didn't realize that it was glitched, but there's a part where you have to slow the wind down so that it stops a weather vane so that you can then like swing off of that weather vane. Mm-hmm. And we pulled out the singing block to get it to slow down. But it was still moving. And I was like, oh, well maybe it just slowed it down. And so now we can jump to it because it's slowed down. And we tried to jump on that thing a good 25 times before we were like, something feels wrong. Maybe we should just reset this and try again. And then as soon as we rebooted it, it was just frozen still. And we're like, oh, okay. But that was one of our more frustrating moments in these two chapters, was having to restart there. Once we did, though, I thought it was a pretty cool section. I think once you're inside that kind of temple-ish area, too, with the whirlwind, that was really cool.
Yeah. Yep. We're just swirling you around and you're just making your way, and then you get your little flashback.
Yeah. Yeah. When you just jump into it and get your ass kicked.
It's like, what is the flash? It's just like Sears warning you about pushing hard against the Empire.
Yeah.
Some of these flashbacks don't make like they're.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the taming one is like, what? It doesn't make any sense. What does it have to do with taming animals?
Yeah, it's very random. Like, it made a lot of sense in the first game, you having these flashbacks and then getting the powers, because you literally have, like, locked those memories away.
Trading with
now it's just like, they're just, like, doing that again, but it doesn't make sense anymore. It's just like, you already knew how to do this, realistically. You're just like,
I remember this moment that triggered this ability. No, you did.
I've unlocked the potential of my mind.
But I do love, as soon as you get that dash ability, like, the platforming sections become so much fun. I mean,
yeah,
it opens up such a wide range of exploration. And man, the game really, I think it really takes off from that point of just exploring the world and doing everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, playing through on my second playthrough, not having that ability, because that's one you have to unlock through the story, it sucks. Yeah. When you're back to the double jump and you don't have that dash.
Yeah, the dash is great. Which is why I'll be very happy if they do make a third game and they don't Metroid you again. Like, you already have so much traversal. It's ridiculous. I don't even know where they go from there. But yeah, especially once you get the, like, gate key from Marin, the green gate key. Like, it kind of feels like 3D Celeste, and Celeste is my favorite game of all time. So it feels amazing. Yeah, just like resetting your dashes, like constantly resetting your stuff and being on the move, especially in some of those like Jedi chambers. Like I hope they'll just like do a DLC that's a bunch of those traversal chambers, because those are amazing. There's not enough.
Yeah, or the Force Tears like that have all those traversal options. They're so fun. I mean, it's crazy how much that it really takes off from that point. I mean, it just feels good moving around the environments. I mean, it felt okay before, but I mean, it really does open the door to like, I can really go wherever the fuck I want at this point. Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Then you meet Brother Armaeus and get his codes, and then he gets crushed by a bunch of fucking rocks.
Yeah.
So as we were going here, there was a giant fucking like drill bot attacking this temple that he was at, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the entire time you just see this thing and you're running through like tunnels as you're breaking through the Empire, and it's like closing them, and I think there's a point where you actually have to like slow down one of its arms so you can run across this tunnel. But now you get this extremely, I mean, I really enjoyed this part where you fight the drill, and like Marin's just making these little portals for you to go through, and it's just a one long run as you take down this drill bot till you get to the end, and just you throw, is it a piece of it back at it, or is it a bunch of rocks or something?
Yeah, they
pieces of it.
Yeah, it is.
Of it and rocks, and they like fuse it all together and throw it right back into the eye of it, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Hey, but just so you know, this was just the Incredibles.
Yeah,
it's just like that. It's just the Incredibles. That's all they did. They ripped off the Incredibles,
and it's so good.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Like, I really enjoyed this part. Like, I was very hyped after doing this part, and I actually saw a video. And somebody's playing, like, when it gets to the sped up version of towards the end of Freebird while he's doing this part. Yeah. And it matches very, very well. And I laughed. I chuckled.
Yeah, the traversal part during the section is so cool. Like, just such a cinematic feast to, like, look at. Just, like, going through and doing all those teleports. And the way that it, like, grabs your body and makes you fly through. I love that animation. It's so cool. It reminded me a lot of... the big robot fight in Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart. There's a huge grinding section that you do with the giant robot in that, and it reminded me of that. Just like cool scale, cool movement. You know, it's just awesome.
Well, and then all the other stuff that's happening around, like as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, there's ships and stormtroopers being decimated by Marin as she's popping you around too.
It's a really good cinematic that you really get to take a part of and part in at the same time. It's very good.
Yeah. And I love that combination attack at the end with Marin and Cal. It is cool, even though it is just the Incredibles. But
speaking of, before we actually do this part, she goes over to Cal and gives him a big old smoocheroo.
Hey, we gotta talk about the smoocheroo.
He's like, "Oh, is this for luck?" And she's like, "No, it's for me."
I love that line.
Yeah,
Marin's the best.
Seems horny little beast. Slime minx.
That's just, you know, that's the equivalent of Han saying "I know" before he goes in the carbonite.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's not as good though.
Fair, but it's like it's that emotional level. Like
I mean, I guess if you thought she was going to die at this point, but I don't know. It was a good moment. I enjoyed it.
There was a chance.
There was no pants?
There was a chance.
No pants dance.
No chance of her having no pants? No
yeah. Pants. Yeah. That's if they made it out alive. There's definitely a chance for no pants.
This definitely is stoking my fears, though, that one of Cal or Marin, and I know two of you have finished the game, but it's making me nervous that one of the two of them is not making it out of this whole thing alive. I'm very nervous about Marin at this point.
Your anxiety is just building.
Yeah, it really is.
So is mine, but that's because I just chugged all this coffee. So.
Getting jittery. So after murdering the giant drill bot, we head back to Cordova, who informs us about the compasses, and it's to traverse the abyss to get to Tantalor, and that Kree was supposed to destroy them after Tantalor was invaded, and she was ordered to destroy them all, and there is one that still exists.
No.
knows where it is. Oh. You know what? Let's go back to Kobo, because that's always a good idea. Guess what? Go back to Kobo, and they stole Z. Z is gone. Medlum Raiders have stolen her.
Been droid napped.
Unbelievable.
Those dirty, dirty fuckers. She just came with us on the Mantis.
Oh, she didn't want to. Well. She's her own person.
Yeah. Well.
Her own droid.
Is she? We don't know. But I digress. Bode and Cal come up with a plan to save her because Cal's afraid they will just turn into scrap as soon as Dagon gets what he wants because he's a creepy one-armed fucker. He'd probably just turn into like some weird sex bot or something, you know?
Yeah.
Measure yep. me in Ravis now.
Okay. All right.
Fine. We find out that they are at the Lucra Hulk, the giant orb weird separatist droid ship that is in the swamp. So you put your Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker attire on, head to the swamp, pretend it's Dagobah. But that's trees. So it's not.
Yep. All right. Keep it moving.
Then you get attacked by Ravis. He steals your fucking tuner. So now you can't open up any of those little thingy doodles. You're like, ah, oh, shit.
Technical term, thingy doodles.
Yeah, thingy doodles.
Mm-hmm. Thingy doodles.
I do like this section a lot. There's a lot of cool dialogue between him and Bode talking about him, like, when he was a scrapper and stuff. Yep. A lot of really good back and forth between those two. I like those two characters' interactions a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, too, throughout this section, because I mentioned last week that I was not a fan of Ravis, and I was worried that he was the big boss up until we met Dagon. Ravis grew on me. You were right, Tom. I think you said last week, like, I would like him more the next time I saw him, and I did.
His development continues.
He becomes a pretty cool character, yeah.
He is very cool.
Yeah.
And you learn, I'm pretty sure in this area you learn that he's following Dagon because Dagon bested him in battle, so now he's following him.
Yeah, nobody's ever beat him before, and so he has all of his loyalty to him because he respects him so much as a warrior. Yeah. Which is...
So that's the code that he lives by.
Well, it's also because the Jedi like kicked his ass or whatever, but they didn't give him a warrior's death.
Yeah.
So he feels like he owes him for that. It's very interesting. It's a weird way of going about, you know, his life. But I think the payoff at the end is worth it. You know, that scene is very good.
It's almost like a evil Chewbacca and Han Solo relationship between.
Oh yeah.
He owes a life debt because the guy was, you know, beat him in combat, not because he just saved his life. It's he beat him in combat and then spared his life, and so now he works with him. But that's what I kind of thought of, was like, this guy is his Chewbacca.
yeah pretty much. As you make your way back up, because when he does this, you basically get this is where you fall down. Like, I think you get there's an achievement that calls back to like Empire when Luke falls down from the Sky City down that giant tube.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the trophy is called, but
thinks he kills you, but you're not dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Correct. If you have not already gotten it, you pretty much guarantee you get the trophy for being in the air for 60 seconds here.
Yeah. Yep. And then you climb your way back up and you end up being on top of one of the turbo lifts where you like start. And there's a conversation that takes place between Dagon and Ravis, where Ravis essentially has copied everything from your tuner, like all the codes. And he is going to go to the Shattered Moon to find the compass. And Dagon sends a bunch of guys to the Forest Array to shut it off, I believe. I don't think that really matters, but because you're just following Ravis anyway. I don't think you go back to the Forest Array. But then you continue your search for Z. Who you find? And strapped to weird, like, I think it's like the interrogation.
Yeah, we did get Force Left and Slam here as well. Yep. With another one of those weird cutscenes, it's like, why is this relevant? I mean, at least Seer actually Force Slam something in the scene, but it's like, you already knew how to do this, I'm sure, Cal. Even though I passed by doors earlier, they're like, there's no way I could possibly lift this.
And they glow blue. Well, they glow red at this point, but yes.
It's also dumb that he's like, I know how to force, push, and pull, but the concept of going up and down?
Up and down.
No way.
I don't understand that.
Left and right only, baby. Forward and backwards.
Yeah. So, after reaching Z, Dagon attacks you, and you have your second Dagon fight.
Very good.
Yeah, this is a good fight. He is very skilled for having one-armed man.
Yeah, I mean, he just uses the force as a second arm, essentially. Right,
and it looks, but it's so fucking cool looking.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you can see him kind of like throw his shoulder into it when he's using it. It's, love that. So good.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a cool fucking character. I like his character a lot. At first, I was like, this guy's kind of a weird, wimpy looking dude. And then the more you like interact with him and fight him, it's like, man, he's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Bode comes at the end to help push Dagon back. Dagon flees once again. And, you know, you've beaten the area and you decide to head to Ravus to retrieve the compass on the moon.
This, this felt like a weird retreat by Dagon to me, because I guess he and Cal are fairly evenly matched, so maybe one guy with a blaster is enough, but how many guys with blasters have we seen Jedi and Sith play over the years?
He's like, got a jetpack, too, and two blasters.
Which he loved showing off that jetpack before we got the force lift to open doors for us.
Yeah.
Three or four of those in a row are like, great,
unhinged,
cool.
Like
you have a jetpack
for you to like strap to. Yeah. You know, when it first started, I thought, oh, maybe we'll get a jetpack. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Kel also wants either. A jetpack. My wife, she's like, when do we get our jetpack? That's what we need.
We have to go find a Mandalorian to kill.
Yeah. That would ruin all these wall running sections Respawn has so gladly set up for us, though.
That'd be cool, though. Like, you could just run, like, you would just jet along it, like, limited fuel. So it wouldn't be like you can run, like, five steps and then you'd fall, but you could just, like, glide across it.
Yeah, like, if your dash ability was actually just, like, a limited fuel jetpack, that would be pretty dope.
Yeah, because, I mean, they'd have to have some, they'd have to be something more than just, like, an overheat cage, because otherwise you'd just be fucking, like, all over the place.
Yeah. But like you could upgrade the force dash like you do with the advanced ascension cable we're going to get in a bit here and have like a little jetpack boost added onto it or something so you dash even further. That would be cool.
That would be cool. With the force lift now, after the section, I went back and did some more exploration and you can meet the worst character, Soont Mattis, who you immediately kill.
Yeah, so I had an echo from him at one of the High Republic chambers, which seemed kind of interesting. Like, he seemed like he was kind of a crazy dude looking for treasure or something. And then we went back to Kobo, and we had that moment of like, I wonder if we can break, with all our new abilities, I wonder if we can break into that house with the eyeballs now. And and immediately just had to kill this guy.
Because he like killed his brother or whatever.
It all felt super weird. And I feel like we need to go into our data bank and like read the backstory to understand what the hell just happened there.
Yeah, that guy was a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's still fun, though.
That's all there is to say about that. He's just a psychopath.
What do you? You only find it's like a perk that's down there, right? It's nothing. Is it even a perk? Or is it like a skill point? It's something.
It was a skill point. Just last night. Yeah, it's like, in the corner. There's one of those little meditation spots, and you get a skill point from it.
Yep.
But and the corpse of his brother, just surrounded by like flies buzzing around.
Yeah,
and then he just attacks you.
I'm okay with them both being dead because I hate their design so much. I hate looking at them.
They are awful to look at. That is true.
Why? I do not like them. I do not understand.
Get us back on track, Tom. Where were we?
No.
Let's stop talking about the weird.
Want to hear more about
face.
This?
Yeah.
Soont Mattis.
These creatures that you. Well, there's no get back on track, right? That's
We gotta go kill Ravus.
We gotta go back to the Shattered Moon again.
That's chapter 5.
No, it's not. It's chapter 4. That's how we end this chapter.
It transfers over to chapter 5 immediately.
You know, looking right here, it says chapter 5, Shattered Moon, Pursue Ravus. So,
Oh boy.
That I was is told chapter to stop. Five.
Okay. All right. Well, I was told the stopping point was after that fight by one tactical dreamer, Chris Bartlett. So that's definitely how far we played.
No, that is
the
going to Ravus is 4-3, but it is after you kill Ravus, then if you go to your data bank, it will show you're in 5-1, like immediately after you kill Ravus.
Oh, spoiler alert.
When I did my lineup for this, I went through what the chapters say in the data bank, so it stops at finding Z.
Okay. Then we're done.
So, yeah.
That fight with Ravus rules, though.
It does rule. Yeah.
It's so good.
Precursor
like,
to the
as
next
you break his armor off and you see his like crazy tentacle body, you're like, this guy is weird. And I love that scene where he's like, give me a warrior's death. Oh, it's so good.
All right. Are we talking about
we
it?
We might as well
not?
Just talk about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it. We did it. Right. So we all did it.
You get there and like it's got the giant like mining beam, but very Death Star beam coalescent. Yeah. And there is a trophy, obviously, if you pull a droid in front of the beam and let him get destroyed by it.
And it's awesome.
It's very fun to watch them get vaporized by the beam. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very quick section anyway. You just run across the beam up to the front of the base where you confront Ravus.
Yeah, we did have one section with the beam where it's like the pinball flipper kind of platform.
Yeah, that goes down every time it fires.
Yeah, and you had to like hit four or five in a row with wall runs, and that was like the timing on that was a little tough at points. But other than that, yeah, we moved through this pretty quickly. This had a couple of the guys Chris was talking about too, where it's like we can clearly see you standing there behind that wall, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy the aesthetic of this moon base. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
The actual Ravus fight for me was incredibly simple after doing that Dagon one. And this is at the point where I switched from Jedi Master to Grandmaster just because everything was getting very, very easy for me. And I was like, man, even on Grandmaster, I just beat the living piss out of Ravus. But I really enjoyed the boss fight. Like, I enjoyed the phases and his staff that turns into the flail and he would shoot it at you. That was a good fight.
Yeah, it's really cool when he like swings it around and it like kind of extends. It's
the move where he throws it and then it comes back and then he kicks it at you again was also really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
We the first time we fought him, we healed very liberally. Like anytime we're half held, we're like, let's heal in case he's got some big attack he's saving for us. And so we beat the first form, but we only had like two stim packs left. And so then the tentacle form absolutely effed us up the first time. But once we realized it was a two form fight and he wasn't too intimidating, we were able to beat him pretty easily the second time.
Sure.
But that cutscene afterwards is really good with just him telling you the whole story about, I owe you nothing, Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then in this area, I forgot to mention, you also get the upgraded ascension cable. So now you can finally use those giant fucking balloon things that are scattered all over the place. You're like, what the fuck is this stupid ass thing? Mm-hmm. I was very curious the entire time. Like, how am I utilizing this? Like, cause I remember when the first, like, I think this is where you find the people for the hollow tactics. There's one of those spawners and you can grab it and pull one out and throw it. And I'm like, I kept trying to jump on top of it. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Why can I not jump on this thing? It makes no sense. But yes, then you get to, you learn later that you need your upgraded ascender.
Whatever it does. Yeah. It is. I mean, some of the force powers is like, they're not going to describe how this thing actually works. Just like, hey, we needed to gate things off because this is a 3D Metroid game basically.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like I the way that they sprinkle in the traversal powers, I think is at a good pace where you don't need them all right away.
I think that's the last traversal power, so you could actually explore pretty much everything at this point.
You should be able to access everything. This makes more sense to me now, because when I was talking to Tyler last night, we were playing, and he's like, oh, yeah, and then the other one where you get the Ascender. I'm like, you don't get the Ascender in Chapter 4?
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that that was Chapter 5, the start of it.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know. It's weird to start.
Started with a boss fight.
Yeah, it's weird to start it off with, like, a huge boss fight. I guess you did just beat Dagon as well, so that makes sense as the end of Chapter 4, but then Ravus feels like he should be the end of a chapter, and he's not. He's the beginning of a very, very long chapter.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. It was the actual end. In my mind, that's the end of chapter four when you fight Raven.
Yeah, we're just redoing the game. Sorry. Yeah. Respawn. But yeah, it also makes sense as far as our stopping points, because like, even if we were following stopping points, you would already have all the traversal powers and could do as much exploration as you want. Which I don't think that's a spoiler, because if you look at your maps, everything is green, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I've talked to Tyler, but have you guys done the a lot of the bounties? Because at this point with killing Ravis, you know, pretty much have everything open to kill and traverse. And have you not done any bounties?
Really. I've done all the ones I can at this point.
Well, that's right. You said you can't figure out how to get past that one part.
Correct.
We've done a couple of the bounties. We realized that if you just keep talking to Cage in the saloon, she'll just keep giving you more of them. So we have like 6 or 7 now on our task list.
I will tell you now, the later ones get very, very hard. And it's not just go here, find this person. It's literally like go to this area that is now blocked off. And there is a shit ton of guys, not just the one you have to kill.
Yeah, there are a few really hard ones like that. And it is worth doing that quest.
That's Preston messaged me last night and told me that he'd pretty much beaten the game, and then he finished the bounty hunter stuff right before the end, and he wished he had done it earlier. So
very cool. I was very happy. But yeah, that's chapter 3, 4 and part of 5. So next time, for those who have not played all of it, will be the completion of the survivors of the Jedi's and the stars with the wars.
With the wars, yeah.
With the wars. Not whores, but wars. I mean, there might be whores. I mean, there's probably whores on Coruscant. Why wouldn't there be?
Hey, not to host the show for you or anything, Tom, but do we have any reader feedback questions maybe from one Dory Ford in the chat?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Damn.
I guess I was just assuming since last time there wasn't, I didn't even look. So I was like, fucking.
Also, apologies to everybody, because we again did not ping in the channel for new comments. And I know Holden was sad he didn't get his comment in last time. Holden, we will get all your comments next time. Send us paragraphs.
I have to look. What is happening?
I have it popped up. If you want me to read it.
Is this it? What do we think of the core of Cal being a much better character this time? Is this the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think most people agree that he's a lot more interesting and less glam.
Glam, maybe?
Yeah. Less glam less than bland. He was in the less first. Bland. Okay. Yeah. Oh, less bland.
Less bland.
In the first game. What do you think this is? I think it's because of the customization. But to be fair, there's a lot. He has a lot. I think the actual like cinematic scenes, he conveys more emotion.
Yeah, they do a much better job of giving him
very
range.
Monotonous in his emotional range in Fallen Order. Like, he's very just borderline. Where this, he's actually like the little interactions with Marin and Seer. Like, you can see I don't know if they gave him more free reign to do what he wanted, or better direction, or maybe he's just grown as an actor.
I think it's partially that, and it's also partially now we have a connection and a history with Cal. Like, we see those scenes and we think back to those moments from the first game that we were playing, so it invokes something deeper within us if we've played that first game.
Yeah, I think it works similar to, you know, any movie or TV franchise. The first one always has the toughest job because they have to introduce you to the character in the world a little bit, and this one, now that he's already established, they can go a little bit deeper on the writing probably than in the first one. And yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I think like Ryan mentioned, the connection we have with the character. I do also think the writing is just straight up better in this game than it was in the first one.
Agreed. Yeah, this story and like dialogue, everything in this feels a lot more fun and more stakes, I guess.
I also feel like the customization does help in having all the stances and stuff, because in like the first one, you're kind of, I think I said it the last episode, but you're kind of just set with Cal as who he is as a character. But like this time you get more range to play the way that you feel like he would be as a character. You know, so you get to put a little bit more like investment into it and you get more agency as the player.
Absolutely. Yeah, with the stances and everything too, because like as we found out, we don't all play the same stance. And we all hate the single lightsaber stance, apparently, because none of us talk about that because
we used it so much in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you get.
That's all it is. Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah.
Which, after completing everything, it is actually, they are some very good skills in the single bladed lightsaber tree.
Yeah, because they have to, otherwise no one would ever play it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, double, like the double saber, I primarily used until I got the cross guard, so... Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think any other words on Cal's emotional range or growth?
What are you guys
undercut
going
a mustache for... looks so good. That's all said.
Are you guys going for like a serious Cal look or have you tried to make him look ridiculous? We swapped over to the we were calling it the Anakin hair for a little bit, like the windswept looks very much like his episode 3 style. I think we're back on the scrapper survivor, whatever it is, like the default hair at this point. We got a little haircut after we smooched Marin. We wanted to look good for Marin at that point.
Nice. I think mine pretty much runs the mustache with the patch and the undercut with the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah,
but I have like the commander armor on that you find on Jedha.
That's also what I have.
I've got the commander legs. I'm rocking the man bun.
Oh, gross. We got the man bun, it is absolutely not attack of the bros. We had a weird like puzzly platforming section yesterday that took us a while to figure out, and then when we finally got it, we jumped up to the top of this cliff and I said we just did all that shit for probably a bad mustache or something, and open up the chest.
There are a lot of mustaches exploring. It's like, why are there so many mustaches?
Yep, and this one was like the full beard goatee, and it was
awful.
It's so bad, the full mustache goatee. Yeah,
when I was in the customization this morning, was the first time I found out that you could remove the 5 o'clock shadow.
So all the time it was always just
the stuff across with the 5 o'clock shadow, and I was like, this is just weird. And then I actually saw in the bottom corner today that you can just take it off, and I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's cool though. I like how the way it looks.
We think most of them look better with it. So.
Yep. Because I just have the big bushy mustache with the 5 o'clock shadow, and it looks pretty awesome. Got like a Ned Flanders vibe going on, the undercut and the big bushy mustache. It's cool, neighbor, and he just slices him in half. But like, it looks really good in cutscenes and stuff. Like, I feel like it fits his character design.
I think any of them, like, regardless of what you put on, everything in the cinematics, like, it matches well. It's not like when you're
playing the man bun. The man bun looks terrible. I don't know how he's doing that, because the man bun looks awful.
I like the way the man bun looks, and I think canonically it fits. Like, he hasn't had a chance to like stop and get a haircut, so he's just like,
I don't hate the man bun, right? Yeah. My wife does. She instantly said no, but I think
I hate the man bun. Yeah, I think it's because I used to have one, so I just like, part of me is just like, ugh.
I'm shocked that Tactical Dreamer doesn't like the man bun. I have no idea why, looking at his hair.
My cowl is not bald either. Though. Like, I do windswept and big beard.
Can you get a bald option? I know there's like,
no, it's just a butt.
Yeah, you get a buzz cut.
The extent of what you can do, I believe.
We need bald representation for Chris and Rob.
Right. I would not make him bald, so he would look weird.
We didn't bring this up last time, but Cal's got a tattoo on his right arm now.
And it looks pretty badass with certain armor and clothes on.
I haven't noticed. I think I've had long sleeves on the whole game.
I can't remember what the undershirt is, but it just has one sleeve. So it is the duelist. So he just has one sleeve and the other one has the tattoo uncovered. Mm-hmm. It's a cool look, man. The way that you are able to make him look and stuff in this game, it does matter, you know, the way that you feel when you play the game.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we answered Dory's question.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything else besides Holden being angry that we don't tell him anything.
Love you, Holden.
We love you, Holden. Write in lots of questions for the last episode.
Any predictions or anything for the rest of the game that you want to throw out now?
Game's good.
We all know that.
It's good. I'm really hoping that Tears of the Kingdom doesn't keep me from finishing it before next week.
Brian, you give out a lot of homework as a teacher. You've got...
Yep, that's it.
If you're not like exploring a lot, it'll go pretty fast. Chapter 5 is a little lengthy, but
yeah,
I mean,
it cruises. Once it hits the points, it starts cruising. So
right,
yeah. And 6 plus flies pretty quick
seems
too.
Seems like so. We've already played part of Chapter 5 anyway. So
yeah, so you're already ahead of the game.
Well, thank you once again for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming back.
You'll have to suffer us one more time, though. So.
One more time.
What you got to plug?
Draft Punks is our podcast that we do. Ryan's on there quite a bit. Tactical Tyler, we got to get Tom on. We talked about this last week, but we hope people go check it out. You can find it all the places that you find the Friendly Fire shows as well. So, we pick a new topic each week and we do sort of a fantasy football style 5-round draft and talk about things that people love. Lots of nerdy stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you got plugs?
Yeah, follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/friendlyfirepod, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The link. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always second guessing it.
I am always second guessing.
Every time, you're like, is that it?
We have different links everywhere, guys. we still stream Wasted. Tom and Tyler do, and sometimes Ryan. Otherwise, Ryan, you're mostly streaming on YouTube now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over on our YouTube channel. Yep. Which, I don't know, I might... Most of them are doing that because YouTube's a little nicer on my internet. But the other morning this week, I think it was Wednesday morning this week, the fiber trucks were directly in front of my house installing new fiber lines. So maybe by the end of the month, maybe next month, I'll have some 2000s era internet. Very exciting. Tuesdays, Kingdom Hearts will be starting. I didn't start Dream Drop Distance this week because I wound up working overtime on Tuesday. We'll be starting it this week. Unless more overtime happens. Excited to start that one. Yeah.
Tyler?
Wasted. On Saturdays, Tom and I get drunk. Ryan's been joining us a lot lately. We get trashed and play games, and it's fun. We were playing Redfall. Tom and Ryan were mediocre with it. I don't know.
I already
uninstalled
it. I
think it's mediocre. I had a good time. So.
Mediocre in their feelings on it, or mediocre at the game?
It being a more mediocre game has nothing to do with if we had fun or not. I enjoyed it, but it's an okay game.
Yeah.
I have a couple of students who have been playing it and feel the same way. I feel like there's a little bit of copium when I hear them talking to me about it. They're like, yeah, it's not great, but I'm having fun. You know,
it's a good time with friends, but Tom and I have been playing all kinds of stuff. We played Fortnite for 5 hours last night randomly, and then
got extremely drunk.
I got trashed, but I had a long week still, and I was pretty much home by myself. But we downloaded Battlefront 2. We were playing Battlefront 2 today, so maybe we'll play that next weekend. We won't be doing it today when this comes out, but who gives a shit, because this will be after the fact. Usually on Saturdays at 6.
Yes.
6 Eastern, 5 Central.
Eastern. We do have Diablo coming up down the pipeline.
Yeah, Diablo 4 is our next big one that we're going to do the whole game.
Nice.
And hopefully have Sir Jeffrey join us. And he can tell us about
the rumors
that he's emblazoned his penis
upon.
Because
he just joined a band, so we'll find out.
I'm in on that for sure. It'll be my first time playing a Diablo all the way.
It'll be good.
Ryan, your camera has been unfocused this entire time.
It won't fucking focus. I know. All right. It's been bugging the living shit out of me for 35 minutes.
Me
at this
too,
point.
Every time I look over in the corner,
it refuses to focus. And I can't do anything with it.
I know it's you. Sorry, I just want to point that out. I know that it's been bothering you. I just wanted to address
it. Here, wait. I'll go. Here. Is that better?
Thanks, Tom. Thank you, Tom. At least I'm not alone
solidarity.
Anymore.
Solidarity.
It, like, locks me out of my camera controls while Discord's using it, so I can't.
It's almost like I'm playing Fortnite last night again. That's the way it looks. Just super
trying, trying to get it to refocus, and it just, it nothing.
See, two of everything. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until a week from now, we will complete the survivors of the Jedis and things.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
And this second half, or this last half, is very, very good. I think the best writing happens.
Last third.
Enjoy it. It is fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 Bye.